Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple, all your podcast channels. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, never looked better, right, Hannah?
Never looked better. Whose face are you wearing tonight, Mark?
I'm not sure whose face. This is the 30% off special at Halloween Town. Whoever's face that is. but this is Hannah's idea to make me look as repulsive as possible in front of beautiful. I'm here in the studio with three beautiful women, and Pete, who ain't too shabby himself, and I. And I look like this. Yes, I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm going to swing this around and show you how to properly mix horror and beauty. Well, first off, Max has popped by. She's been on the show before. I got to take this off. I'm sweating crazy. Mm. And then, see, that's how you mix horror and beauty. See, it's very subtle.
It's prom night.
And you apparently got a paper cut because there's a little blood here and there, but it's not too much.
It was a lot before I left my house and it all started falling apart. I was supposed to be like the next generation of you Leatherface and you attack the, you know, prom kids.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
The one with Matthew McConaughey, my favorite one.
Yeah, that's the best one. Anyway, that's Hannah Bond.
Hello.
Everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ. Mm-hmm. And it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Halloween.
Yes, it is. So how's Grandpa?
Grandpa's good. He liked our outfits. You know, her and I have never went to prom, so this is actually our like prom night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You guys were the rebels. You're like, I'm too cool to go to prom.
Kind of.
Yeah. One of those things. Anyway, we've got one guest that that was on before. Two people that I've been trying to get on the show for years.
Uh-huh.
Cleve Hall, who will be here momentarily. You've never met him. I don't know how you missed him.
I've probably seen him out and about, like Bar Sinister, possibly.
I would imagine, yeah. But... he's coming, but also somebody I've been trying to get for years and years because she's so funny and she's got so much going on. And she's just, I dig hanging out with her. And for some reason, she looks a little nervous. I've never seen this before. That's Irina Zara there.
Hi.
There's no reason to be nervous. We're just chilling and shooting the shit.
I'm super excited to be here. And my Halloween costume is somebody who rolled out of bed a few hours ago.
I thought you were going for Liza Minnelli. I didn't know what was going on here with the hair.
Sure.
Is
we
that
can
what
go
was?
With that.
Okay.
We can go with that.
No, I'm trying to think when I know exactly. We're going to tell a story when I met you because it's a good one.
Mm.
But
I think I remembered that story too.
It's very memorable. It's a goth clubs pop
stories.
Up in the strangest places.
Right.
Before we talk about that, and like I say, Cleve Hall, Monster Man. He's done everything from Pee-wee's Big Adventure to Jay and Silent Bob's reboot. He's going to be here. And yeah, so we talked about that on the last show. You start listening to shows that you're not on. They're good.
I know.
Once in a while, they're good. Anyway, so.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. Before we get started, we have our sponsors, Audible, audibletrial.com/DMS. Once again, go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You get a free book and two Audible originals. You can get Alien 3. Not the crappy movie, but they have Alien 3. William Gibson wrote a script. They never used it. They got Lance Henriksen, Michael Biehn, and a whole star cast to act it out.
Wow.
That's for free. And a book. And another Audible original. Bob Newhart interviewing other comics. John Lithgow doing a one-man show. You could whatever you want. They have Kate McKinnon does a Twisted Fairy Tale. It's great.
I like Twisted Fairy Tales.
Yes, and I like Kate McKinnon, so that works out fine. So go to Audible Trial. Now my hair's in my face. Hannah wants me with long hair. See, she wants everybody with long hair is what it is. So anyway, audibletrial.com/DMS. Probably there's books how to grow your hair, so you might want to check that out. And Hannah, tell us about our other sponsor real quick.
Doomy's
since you haven't
home
eaten
cooking.
In like 5 days.
Doomy's Home Cooking.
When was the last time you ate, Hannah? Seriously.
Literally.
Yesterday.
Okay, good, because every now and then you skip a few days.
I do, every now and then.
And with no reason to do so. You should eat every day.
Oh.
So Doomy's Home Cooking, great. When you're hungry now, you're thinking about Doomy's Home Cooking.
Always. We just went there last weekend.
I know.
We got the cake.
Didn't even invite me.
Jalapeno poppers. Well, we were like, it was like drunk munchies last minute.
Irene, have you ever been to Doomy's?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you vegan? I didn't even know.
I'm vegetarian, but I am a big connoisseur of vegan restaurants because we have so many wonderful ones in LA.
Yes.
So yeah, I've definitely been there quite a few times.
The Fun Fries.
Yes.
Jalapeno poppers. What'd you get?
Western bacon
cheeseburger. Yes.
Yeah. Then we got the carrot cake, and then we tried the chicken drumsticks. They were so good.
Oh yeah, with the steak in the drumsticks. So
yeah, we did.
They sponsor our show. That's 1253 Vine Street, right in the corner of Fountain and Vine. If you're in Hollywood, if you're not in Hollywood and you're in Culver City, go to the Culver City location. They have brunch. They came out with a seafood plate. They got all sorts of stuff happening there.
They have a special Halloween burrito. Tomorrow.
Oh, now you tell me what's in that.
It's like they fry it, and there's a bunch of like special spooky sauces on it.
Okay.
Yeah, just check out like their Instagram.
All right, and also there's a Doobie's Home Cooking in Toronto, Canada. So.
And there's Express in Terrace City.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was Express now. Phil's always full of surprises.
Yes, he is.
Now, Irene, as I'm sure you've been researching, it's all sorts of things going on with her. She's a dancer. A mime, she's a comedian, she's a clown, she's a tarot card reader, she's a small business. She does all sorts of things. But I met this woman. There was a goth club at a Indian restaurant in Hollywood one night. Yes.
That's a surprise.
I don't know how it was. And it was one of these things where I just saw, you know what, there's a goth club at an Indian restaurant. I have to check this out.
Right.
So I got there and I was... I've never seen it before since.
Gotta go.
Depressing curry. It's really. It's one of those things. And I said, I met Irene and her partner in crime and BFF. Although you guys are probably BFFs. She becomes BFFs with everybody on the show. Carla.
Carla Usagi, yes.
And who's the reason that you're on the show this week? Because for some reason, you after I asked you like five times, you're like, okay, now I want to be on the show. So I met the two of you when we were in trance, and we just talked about all sorts of things. We were just laughing all night.
Yes. Carla is a wonderful inspiration to me. She's basically a satirist. I would call her a satirist, which is really kind of a lost art these days. But she draws amazing web comics, and she in some ways she kind of does what you do. Like she really pokes fun at a lot of like the stereotypical people in the goth scene,
right?
In a very compassionate way, but very like very much this year like the gloves came off with a lot of that stuff, and I told her Savage Carla is best Carla.
Yes. Well, you've been known to be savage yourself. When you get the two of you, you're the savage one, really.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Especially now, I mean, we're all getting a little older, so there's a new crop of baby goths coming up.
Yeah, I think we've mellowed out a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, wait, okay, before I do this, can I cuss on this show?
You can cuss all you want, please.
Okay.
We encourage profanity.
You're right about that, but. But yeah, I think in as much as we're trying to usher the new crowd in, like our level of tolerance for the repetitive bullshit of some people who have been around for a while has probably gone down. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So what's the problem with the baby goths? What's your biggest pet peeve with the baby goths?
I don't know that there's a big problem per se, because I'm feeling really positive about like how supportive they are and how much they understand kind of like giving visibility to a certain subculture. Like I think they've done a really good job of that, but I'm also hearing, especially from other people who have been in the scene for a long time, that people are just like showing up to clubs to take selfies for like half an hour and then leaving. Like they're not necessarily invested to the same level in goth as like a social scene. They're kind of just like putting a lot of it on social media, but not necessarily invested in the same way. So I think it depends on the person, but there's good new blood as well.
Because I know Hannah hates the young people that go to the Rainbow and the other place that
so
she goes,
obnoxious.
Bart Sinister.
Yeah.
Well, what's the problem with them?
They're just they're always annoying hitting on you. Children. Yeah, they are. It's like I'm old enough to be like your mom if I was a naughty teenager, you know?
Yes. So what?
Same.
It doesn't feel right. I have like a 21-year-old after me. I'm like, no, I'm 35.
Right. But then, we've been here for a year and a half doing the show, and I thought we got over that. That you can date younger men.
I can, but I don't want to. They're obnoxious.
Right.
Yeah.
See, Hannah's got a type, and it's like it's what you would call a man thing.
I'm laughing because I knew you were going to say that.
It's what you would call a man thing. This is what we were laughing about the first time I met you, and we laugh about every time we talk. It's the male equivalent of a cougar.
Yes. But a manther.
but she likes the metal manthers.
Metal manther, okay.
Metal
yes.
manthers with the long hair, and they're still rocking.
Bullet belts, nice butt.
See, listen to this. But so the guy doing your tattoos, you're not really dating him?
No, it's strictly professional. Okay. I just, Danny, he's cool. He's a friend.
Okay, but he still digs you.
No.
No, okay.
No, he's banging some bartender.
That doesn't mean he doesn't still dig you. It just
hashtag manther.
One has nothing to do. This is one of the children. This is one of the guys in the 20s.
He's 24. Yeah.
I never got this, and you know, I date older women. I date women from their 20s to their 60s.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
I was on a date with a 25-year-old, and he was so obnoxious. I tried to get drunk so he wouldn't like me anymore. He just liked me more. I took off. I went upstairs and gave them my phone number to one of the security guards at the Rainbow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the date? Was the Rainbow?
Well, it was after. I didn't want to go there. He's like, let's just go there. So I like riled up all my gay friends, and I was like, meet me here. I'm going on a date.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. I forgot your burlesque dancer as well.
Yes.
You're doing a lot of stuff. I was looking at all sorts of. Yeah. I was looking on your website, and there's a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know you were mime. That I did not know.
How did you get into that?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So. Oh, the story behind this is hilarious, by the way. Okay. So at some point on Facebook, I put that like one of my hobbies or something like that was being a huge boner killer. Okay. So at some point, I think it was like last year, Facebook had this like thing pop up on my screen that said, Irina, would you like to make huge boner killer your business? And like wanted to know if I wanted to start a business page for being a huge boner killer. So
if anybody could.
So I was like, okay. Yeah. And then like I made like a ha 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 Facebook post about it to a bunch of my friends, and my friends were like, yes, clearly. Fuck yes, please do this. So I did. And then I don't remember exactly the process of how this happened, but I had created a mime character for an act in a burlesque show called What the Fucklesque that takes place on at least a monthly basis in Reseda.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd created a mime character for that particular show. So I had already kind of started being in this mime character. Eventually, at some point, I changed the spelling of that Facebook business page from Huge Boner Killer to Huge Boner Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became the name of my mime character.
Now, what does mime burlesque consist of? Now,
first of all, I personally, for this particular show, I didn't strip. I did an act with a hula hoop.
Okay.
That was just kind of like a mime in the mime character.
Yeah.
But there were stripping mimes in this show. So
I was going to say, walking in the wind, but your clothes fall off.
Just kind of have to like see it to understand it.
I guess so.
excuse me.
Because you have several characters, not just.
Yes. But this one particular performer named Veronica Voss, she did a mime striptease. And I can't remember whether it was just like a straight up striptease or a reverse striptease, but all of the clothing removal was mimed. So that was incredibly hilarious. I have another friend, Malene Melly Belly. She basically just stripped as a mime character.
I thought you were the only mime burlesque dancer. Now there's a whole slew of them.
No, somebody else in the show stripped out of a fully rhinestoned jumpsuit in the character of Ronald McDonald. And me and my partner were just sitting there laughing our asses off. Like, this is the most amazing thing we've ever seen. We just thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
So there is more to mime burlesque than you could ever imagine. I personally have not ever stripped as a mime. It may happen in the future, but
What's your wildest burlesque character then?
Okay, so I have not done that many burlesque acts. My focus has been more on immersive performance, but I would say that it's probably a tie. I did a burlesque act last year based around the concept of eating Tide Pods. So it was like the persona was somebody who, you know, the first song in the act was "I'm gonna wash that man out of my hair." And I was like pulling these 1950s style curlers out of my hair. And then the second part of the song was it was a song by the band Babyland, actually, who I'm a really huge fan of.
Right.
This industrial band. And I reach into this thing with Tide Pods and I lick one and I start to get really excited and I start to tripping. And the act ends. This was in What the Fuck Lesks, one of their messy shows that they call Tarpa Palooza.
Nice.
And basically the punchline of the act is like, I dump all the Tide Pods on myself because I'm high from eating Tide Pods and then sploosh a bunch of water so I can get really clean.
Did you foam at the mouth and all that?
No, I don't actually eat the Tide Pods.
No, but I mean, did you and like I'm just trying to
no, but that's a good suggestion for if I ever do this act again.
Well, let's go back, because I've never seen you do burlesque. I've seen you dance.
Okay
so, and you started I've seen you belly dance.
Yes, but yeah, that is what I do primarily. Yeah,
but you started when you were a kid, you were doing ballet.
Yeah, well, as a kid, I did, you know, ballet, tap, jazz. I did a little bit of folk dancing when I was a kid. When I got a little bit older, like into high school, I started picking up some stuff like swing dance. And I did modern, 'cause there was a really good dance program at my high school, so I studied a little bit of modern dance too. So yeah, I'd been doing that pretty much my whole life. And then in the mid-2000s, there was a really big trend happening of Middle Eastern dance that was getting popular.
Right.
So right after I finished college in the mid-2000s, I started doing that.
Now, is that belly dance or is that a different type of thing?
Okay, so the two terms are kind of used interchangeably a lot of the time.
I'm ignorant to this. I'm stupid. Yeah. So please educate me and probably half our audience.
Yeah. Okay. So more or less the preferred term or terms with that are either Middle Eastern dance. Many dancers who perform that form also refer to it with the Arabic terminology, which is Rakhsharki, which basically translates roughly to dance of the East.
Mm-hmm.
People who speak some other languages that encompass this dance form we'll sometimes call it Oriental dance or Oriental. Belly dance comes a lot from, to my understanding, a lot of the North American traditions of this dance. And at this point in time, there's like a little bit of a connotation with the usage of that word that there's been a certain level of like Orientalism. That's reflected through the dance. So for people who don't know what that is, it's a certain level of exotifying or stereotyping of the Middle East and the regions who have this dance as part of their cultural vocabulary or social dance. It would be considered like, oh, and it's a concept from the theorist Edward Said, basically. But Orientalism is basically the concept of exotifying people from that region in a certain way.
Okay.
So belly dance is considered to, by some people, have a little bit of a connotation of that. But most people who don't perform the art form, like, still use that term a lot of the time. And again, it has a lot of associations with, like, particularly how the tradition of that dance has evolved in North America.
Right. You follow this, Anna? You're following all of it?
It's kind of confusing, but basically there's multiple interchangeable terms to refer to the dance.
Right.
So we, as the dance performers of it, will often say Middle Eastern dance because that not only encompasses what I referred to earlier as rakshaki or belly dance, where we wear the sparkly costumes, and there's a particular type of movement vocabulary that also was very influenced by Hollywood aesthetic. Even when it was developed in the Middle East, it was influenced by Hollywood aesthetic. So Middle Eastern dance can encompass that, and it can also encompass when we put some more authentic folk dancing into a dance set, let's say, or if there's a theatrical show that might have, like, folk references from dances, like, actually from the Middle East into that. So it's all kind of, like, mixed together when you use that term. So it's pretty much like we use most of the terms interchangeably.
So how did you get interested in folk dancing or belly dancing or what, you know, all of that? Middle Eastern dancing.
Yeah. So basically, like I said, when I finished college in the mid 2000s, there was a big like general public trend of belly dance, of rakshaki, having popularity in the public eye because of belly dance superstars.
Right.
So that was kind of like another big time in the spotlight that belly dance was enjoying as a trend, kind of like how Zumba has for the past few years. Like, it was also happening as like a fitness trend too, that people were just doing for fun and stuff like that.
Would you ever consider yourself a superstar of the genre?
I'm not a belly dance superstar. If I was, I would be,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
I would
too
be
many.
Traveling the world and teaching workshops, you know, all over the world and stuff.
Was that
like
a goal
that,
for so. You at some point? You were going to be the next superstar?
I'm sure that I had a hope to get on that circuit, but it's sort of like a separate discussion about how complicated the belly dance economy can be. Like I said, there are folks out there who travel internationally, and they're from all over the world. So the culturally native instructors, like a lot of the instructors who are culturally from the MENA, Middle East, North Africa, and also like Turkey and Greece, you know, also performs versions of this dance. Like, the performers who are from those areas, for a variety of reasons, sometimes they don't often get as many opportunities to perform in their own regions. So a lot of them travel internationally and teach internationally. And then there's also like international performers from other countries who have excelled at this dance and are kind of like, they're also like on the competition circuit.
Sure.
And so they've gained, you know, a level of fame and fans and things like that just from kind of being on the competition circuit, and they start teaching internationally, and they might go that route. But, you know, there's plenty of dancers out there of this form who just kind of stay pretty regional. I've traveled a little bit over North America to perform. I have not yet made it internationally. I definitely have, you know, hopes about that, just to go study.
Now, is that a bias against Americans, or is that just
What do you mean? As far as
maybe if maybe because you're American and you're Caucasian, that maybe they wouldn't want you. I don't know.
That's actually not necessarily true.
I don't know.
The trend of kind of who gets international notoriety within this community as a global community has still been very much on kind of the body type in a lot of ways. Like mm-hmm. the focus has been on people who are relatively fair skinned, usually have dark hair.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes, honestly, performers native to the culture don't always have as much recognition within this. And honestly, particularly in North America, but all over the world, you know, there are wonderful dancers who are people of color who don't, you know, who haven't gotten the recognition to the same level. Okay. So, yeah, aesthetic.
I'm just curious because I don't know.
The aesthetic trend is actually, as far as who gets hired, is people who are pretty light skinned. So that's interesting. It can vary a little bit. Like right. I'm hearing from dancers who actually work in the Middle East, like it varies a little bit. Maybe right. folks who work in like towards Lebanon and Turkey, the people who get hired, you know, they like you to have kind of like this spray tan look, but like in Egypt, they like the really fair skinned dancers. So, mm. but yeah, it's, you'd be surprised.
I'm sure.
Or not.
No, well yeah. my main education in belly dance was when you hooked me up to co-host the Gothla Belly Dance Festival a few years ago.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
Yes, which wow. I always thought was Goth LA, but it's Gothla.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a Goth Belly Dance yeah. Festival. It was great, but I had like all these jokes about how, you know, they needed a guy to belly dance, so I was going to belly dance. The best belly dancer, no offense, was a guy.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know what the guy's name was, but he was great.
Yeah, we have a number of really incredible performers of all genders within the belly dance scene. It's worth mentioning too that the folks who are from the culture of origin who are male dancers, a lot of them have like left their countries or emigrated mm-hmm. just because there is there's quite a lot of cultural stigma in a lot of cases against mm-hmm. them performing publicly.
Right.
And luckily, you know, many of them have gone on to have great international careers. Right now I'm helping to work on hosting somebody who is originally from Iraq, who was in the Iraqi national troupe, and he's an incredible dance performer. He performs the Iraqi style dance. He does Rakhsharki. He learned all the folk dances because he was in the national troupe, and he's a really amazing modern dancer, I believe, like modern right. contemporary style dancer. And he ended up emigrating to Sweden. But yeah, his name is Mohamed Hawaz, and he's an incredible performer. So there are a lot of incredible performers who are men and non-binary people now right. and in the dance form.
Yeah, the other thing about that too was I was dating a girl at the time, and she was like a born-again Christian, so she was kind of weirded out about the whole goth scene.
I'm weirded out that you dated a born-again Christian.
You know what? Let's high-five each other into the table for, like, yeah. people of religious orientations that
well,
we've dated.
But she thought, like, she thought goth was satanic, so she thought, like, all goths were like Marilyn Manson. I'm like,
ooh, no.
Well, come with me to the belly dance festival. She's like, well, I like these goths, but, you know, whatever. It doesn't... yeah, we hit it off. The whole thing was like she was, you know, we hit it off. She was great, but we just didn't. She couldn't get past the whole religious thing, and I didn't. I was like, you know, whatever. My whole thing with religion has always been whatever works for you. If it works for you, fine.
You're pretty chill, though. You know.
Yeah. Well, so. That's what I'm saying. If it works for you, fine. You know, and that's I've got friends that are with you know every. religious denominations, born again Christians, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Satanists, pagans, whatever, agnostics, Buddhists, whatever. But, you know, whatever. It's so she, but she enjoyed it. She thought it was great. But she actually did say that yoga was not satanic. So that was at least she got there. But she also was. I told her that Joel Osteen was playing the Rose Bowl. She's like, "Why didn't you tell me?" I'm like, "Because he's a piece of shit and he's a phony." But okay.
Okay, now I'm picturing Joel Osteen like doing this like '80s like guitar solo.
He played the Rose Bowl and people came to see him, and that
just wording it that way, like motivational speaker played right. the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I'm thinking of him like
the same, yes, the same place Depeche Mode played and Rolling Stones just played and Joel Osteen plays. And I just said, you know, whatever works for you. But I mean, when you got somebody that's just that phony, it's and you can't see through that. I don't know about that, but you know, I just hit on a point with because I know Hannah gets fascinated anytime we have a dancer on for some reason.
Because I wish I could move my body like that. That's something that I cannot do. I have no rhythm.
You know? You sure?
So, sure. Positive.
Was he seeing you in a mosh pit? You're fine.
That's a mosh pit, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, there's no grace to that.
Is this something that can be taught? Can you teach dance, or do you actually have to have a little rhythm?
I think it is something that can be taught. You know, I personally, you know, even though I'm a professional performer, I have to attempt to practice every single day still.
So, oh, sure.
Or pretty much every single day. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to break it down also to like, do you know anything about music? Like, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, if you're like experienced with understanding music, mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to start. And if you can talk to people that way, or like frame things in a way that they understand, maybe talking about musicality first or something like that, speaking their language as far as like putting it in a way that they'll get it,
mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty possible. And then beyond that, honestly, a lot of it is repetition and practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just to go back, because I don't think we explored this often enough. When you're in a club, what bugs you more, when a mantha comes up to you or when a younger man comes up to you these days? So I don't think we've explored the mantha. We really need to get back on that one. Because you were talking about manthas way back when, like when you were in your 20s.
Yeah, I mean, it. Regardless of age, I think it depends on the approach. Like, I've had people approaching me who were very respectful, who seemed like they actually kind of wanted to strike up a conversation, mm-hmm. who actually weren't like trolling for, like, we're not putting out the trolling for booty vibe, and we're just wanted to talk. But you know, otherwise, if you're coming up and you're clearly like trying to just get one thing out of me, regardless of your age, I'm probably not into it, especially at a club. I mean, also personally, that type of hooking up is just not my style. So, yeah.
So when did you, did you and Carla come up with Mantha, or did somebody else do it?
Okay, so technically, she and I uncovered this term on Urban Dictionary.
Okay.
In like probably 2008 or so. Back when I lived in Orange County, there was this bar, which is now long gone, that was called Foxfire. And
That sounds like a mantha bar.
It had notoriety as a cougar bar, actually.
Right.
But it definitely got like a decent cross-section of manthers showing up there.
Sure.
Well,
when there's cougars, there's manthers.
Yes, but it was also like this dynamic where I think I wouldn't have understood this back then.
Right.
And we didn't have the same like internet culture of like connecting with people in this way back then. But like, I think there was a lot of like sugar daddy, sugar mommy things going on there as well.
Pretender.
Yeah. But me and my friends, and we were in our 20s at the time, me and my friends would just go to hang out there and kind of people watch. But that's definitely how, like, me and Carla started getting the ball rolling on using this term all the time.
Right, and that's about the time I met you. It was 2008. So yeah, you were, it was fresh in your mind, and I was very, very. I think that might be clear, but I was very. It was interesting. Now, you also do tarot card reading. I almost asked you to bring the cards, but we always. Are you sensing it? Is there any sense? Is there any vibe you're getting right now? Or come on in.
Yes.
The timing.
See, I'm sensing vibes such, from behind the door.
Such great timing.
That's just your comic timing.
Please. You couldn't have timed that better if you okay. Come on in. This is Cleve Hall.
Hi.
Cleve Hall. Look at that. By the way, Irene, look at that smile. Look at that smile.
You always point me out.
No, but you have this big...
I smile at everyone.
Because you've been on the show before. Yeah, Hannah missed you last time you were on.
Yeah,
I did.
Back about last time I was on, I had nothing new to say.
Yeah. No, okay. Now, have you ever met Irene or Hannah or
no,
X?
Not. Hi.
Hi. Hi. That's Cleve Hall, Monster Man.
Hi.
I was saying, because Irene does psychic readings, I was like, are you getting any vibes? And you knocked right at that.
You did, oh, yeah.
On the wrong door. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sensing a presence behind
yes.
the door.
But I was gonna talk about. Well, let's start here because I just and here you can have a Coke and a smile. I was gonna say that's X. Anyway, I was gonna say you posted something on Facebook that you met Vincent Price.
Yeah, a few times. In the last over. Years, yeah.
Well, that's a few years ago.
When I lived in Jacksonville, he came actually to the art museum, and he was very much into pre-Columbian art, which I find absolutely hideous. But yeah, he loves that stuff. And I met him.
Did he live in Florida? Is that...
No. He just come to visit the museum because we have a very well-known collection of pre-Columbian art there.
Okay.
And he was very much into cooking, and he'd put out that cookbook, which is impossible to follow. It's all his French cooking and stuff. Nice. Where do you get this in these ingredients, you know? But it was very cool to have, you know. And, he was just a very interesting man. Incredible person and funny as hell and had a voice of an angel.
I could imagine, yeah.
All of them were, though. Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, and Vincent Price, just wonderful people.
And you met all these people.
No, I never met Peter Cushing because after his wife died, he never left England.
But Christopher Lee.
Yeah, I met him and...
Well, did you work on a movie with him? Or?
No. Just that was at a fan event when I met Lee. That was in New Jersey or no, in Virginia. And that was just, it's like meeting God, you know? He's so wonderful. He's like my favorite actor, which is not to say he's the best actor in the world, but my God, when that guy's on screen, he commands it. He was so imposing and stuff, and I love watching his stuff. So, and he was like the last, of the great horror stars. Because a guy in a hockey mask is not a monster, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. So there's no horror stars.
Like
there's nobody.
You had up. You had a picture of Vincent Price. And
yeah, I had a picture of Vincent Price.
Glory,
yeah.
Which is wonderful. You know, just because Comedy of Terrors is one of the greatest films ever made. That's hilarious.
Right.
The Raven, the Black Cat segment of Tales of Terror, all those films they did together. And you can tell they're having so much fun doing them.
Right.
And Richard Matheson, who wrote all of those, what a genius.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wrote some amazing horror films, too, but his comedies are hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these two,
you
and
Irene. Cushing is breaking up Vincent Price, in The Black Cat, and he's breaking him up in the wall, and he says, you can't be serious, you can't mean this. He says, haven't I convinced you of my sincerity yet?
Right.
I love that film. I love all those things. Yeah, and Laurie, who was small in stature and just, kind of weird and stuff, he held his own against the other ones, Boris Karloff and Basil Rathbone and...
Sure.
I'm into old horror movies, okay?
Apparently so.
Now, which is what I'll talk about because I have
no. We're going to talk about it. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's what. Now, Hannah, now you're so excited to meet Cleve. What did you watch Monster Man? Is that
you don't have to? It's okay.
I don't remember.
How do you know Cleve?
Social media and you.
Okay,
and it's people talking about you and it's kind of snooping.
My ears were burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I
you know, social media snoop. Yeah.
I'm surprised that neither one of you have met Cleve because he's around.
I've been a hermit recently, but yeah.
Yeah, he's always like, he and I are always creeping in the background somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you've very exciting now. Jane, Silent Bob came out.
Yeah, that came out. Which it did. I haven't seen it yet, but the clips I've seen look really cool.
And you did what now again?
I did the Iron Bob which
oh, that's right, the Iron,
big thing that
like Iron Man
is showing everywhere. Plus, there's a, I guess it's Mark Hamill had the big fist, and this is an Infinity Gauntlet that I did.
Right.
You know, like Thanos has, that was cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was very fun.
Yeah.
You know,
because last time we were talking, we were talking about the reality show,
yeah.
and
yeah.
how fake that was. Well, I remember a couple years ago, I went to your Halloween
definition of reality.
Well, I went to your Halloween party a couple years ago, and I go every year because it's the best. I'll be going to the one this year. But you were talking about possibly doing another show.
Yeah, there's a couple other things I'm trying to do actually, and I just had a situation where I was trying to hook up with somebody in El Paso. I don't want to get into it right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hopefully they'll all come together.
All right, hook up as far as...
Some things I can't talk about just yet, something, you know me.
Okay.
Actually, I got yelled at for all the things I did say last time.
So. Oh, okay, well, we don't want you to...
Well, you kind of blew it when you said Fear Street, but we aren't supposed to talk about
that. Okay,
yeah.
Now I'm confused. I don't even know what to talk about.
I get these non-disclosure things that I have to sign when I do jobs, you know, and you're not supposed to discuss the thing. Used to be where they wanted you to talk about it to get all the publicity they could, but nowadays it's, oh, we don't want anybody to find out until we're ready to expose it to the world. And, yeah, and I have a self-edit mechanism. So.
Okay. Well, of the things you can talk about, mm-hmm. what was the hardest thing to fabricate as far as a prop?
In over the time?
Yeah.
Blah.
Over the 40 some years that you've been doing this.
Yeah. Hardest thing to fabricate. I mean, there are things that were a nightmare, not because they were so hard, but just because of deadlines and stuff.
Right.
There were some that brought me to tears. I can't remember what may be the worst one because there's been some bad ones, some bad moments out there. There were some stupid ones for sure, really.
Oh, tell us about the stupid ones.
Oh, my God, this was one. I'm not even sure what it was for. It was this character called Mr. Toomey.
Yeah.
And it was a stomach costume. It was a stomach. It was hideous. It was horrible looking.
It was a stomach.
That was bad. Yeah, the worst was for an art student.
Well, was it like intestines coming out, or was it?
No,
like...
it was just shaped like a big stomach with eyes and a big smile. You know.
Okay.
And it was a heart thing. Once I did a heart costume, and it was not a fucking heart. It was a heart with the organ and shit sticking out of it, and that was disgusting.
Yeah.
This
is what Cleve does. This is what he's done for a living.
This is what I do when I'm not making cool stuff. There was one that was this, for, I don't know what it was for, some art student or something, some thing. Artists don't build their own crap. You know, they design it and then hire somebody to do it.
Right.
You know, I did this for this supposedly famous artist who I'd never heard of, who was doing an installation. It was like an 18-foot doll laying on the floor. Half an hour before it was being loaded on the truck, he asked if we could make the hair brown. It was already black. And I told him to get the hell out of my face. There was one thing, though, this guy designed. It was like a clam. It looked like a closed clam with a pair of legs sticking out the bottom that were with jeans and tennis shoes.
Okay.
But when the clam opened, it was a skinned boy inside, fully anatomically correct all the way. And that was just like,
whoa.
But they had money.
That sounds like something from
one of the weird
burlesque shows.
I was going to say, it's like,
don't even ask me how many penises.
So this clam was hung.
Yeah. It was very strange. And then there was, I've made a lot of penises in my time. There was, for the health department of San Francisco, I did the working stiff, several of them for them.
Wait. Back up.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Health department of San Francisco comes to Cleve Hall and says...
It was an anti-syphilis campaign they were doing.
Oh! Yes.
John, what's his name? John, of the Daily Show...
John Stewart.
Yeah, he covered this, actually. He thought it was hilarious, too.
Yeah.
On the Daily Show. They were going to do one in L.A., but then they started thinking, hey, you know, if we use all these, civic funds to have somebody make a penis costume... They might get mad at us. So instead, they had us create another costume, which was Phil the Syphilis Sore, which looked like an angry red California raisin. This is what got John Stewart involved, was the war between the Syphilis Sore and the working stiff up in San Francisco. But it was.
Well, what does a Syphilis Sore look like?
Why would they come to you?
I mean, are you the expert on this? Or?
No, I didn't even look at it. This time, I did not do more research. Usually, I do research, but this one I was not going to. It looked like a red... mean California raisin. Exactly.
Wow. Run.
There were these little squishy dolls of them and stuff they were giving out every day.
Squishy dolls of syphilis sores.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
And I guess they had a working stiff up there, but I didn't want to, you know, hold one.
And this is the United States. This is a government job.
Yeah. And he had a big smile and he was carrying a briefcase.
Like he was happy.
Yes.
Exactly. He was a happy.
Were you living in San Francisco at the time or did he come down to LA for that?
Down here. I don't know, down here.
We need a syphilis sore. Let's go get Cleve.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. The syphilis sore was here. The penises were for up there. And then once, I don't know if it was Dave Chappelle or something, but it was like a Big Black Dicks, it was called. And it was like this 12-foot long silicone penis that shot orange juice out of it, but kids were jump roping with it and all this stuff. That was a bitch to do.
Well, wait a second. Actually, you seem to know something about this. What's going on with that? Oh, is it Chappelle's show?
Yeah, okay. It was a Rusty. Rusty did it. Yeah. And cause that one was weird because it was so long and our shop is only so high, the ceiling. And I had this mold that was 12 feet long and we had to stand up in the balcony or in the loft pouring silicone down inside this thing that big around.
Right.
Filling it with the tube running down so that liquid could be.
Hannah wants to know if you still have the mold.
Yeah. Why no, you want to know if he still has the mold? Christmas is coming up, Mark.
Exactly. I'm just saying. I'm trying
not
to.
For me.
I'm looking for a gift for you.
There was one actually. It was for a porno, which.
I'm feeling
under the table again, and me getting kicked in the leg. But you know, it's a psychic thing. My daughter kicking me in the leg every time I'm saying something I shouldn't.
Right. Oh, she's the one that listens to the show. Is like, don't talk.
She's
about
the
that.
One to kick. No. Usually that's the people I work with, but her it's things like this.
Yeah.
Doing pornos and stuff. And anyway, this is for ET. The extra testicle or something or other. But it was actually I got nominated.
I think I might saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're an AVN nominee.
4 times I went for different things. Yeah, once was a shark for what's her name? Burning Angel, Joanna Angel. It was a shark in a swimming pool that I played that killed everybody after sex. I don't know, but this is, anyway. So
you were the shark in the swimming pool.
I was a shark in the swimming pool.
Was there any intercourse? Was there any like dun, anything?
Yeah,
so you had sex with the porno?
No. I ate them after they had sex.
It's like the praying mantis of sharks.
I'm a shark. I opened my mouth and grabbed them and pulled them through.
Oh, you didn't eat them.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, every time I did that was a reanimator.
You reanimated her. I saw that.
Yeah, when she's on the table in Hill's head. Yeah, I was puppeting that at the time. And I did not read the script. I did not know until we got there what it was supposed to do. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, I think I was on acid.
And that was one of your first movies.
Huh? You saw Barbara Crampton on
the Reanimator was one of your first movies.
No. It was in 85. It was so much fun, though. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Because we came in, actually, they'd already shot a lot of it. And then they needed more funds to finish it, and Charlie Band came on board and put up the money, and then he brought in our other effects companies in, and there was so much stuff. We did that whole hospital scene in 4 days because Christmas was coming, so we were shooting like 20-some-hour days.
Right.
And we were delirious. I mean, just by the third day, we were losing it because we weren't sleeping. And, they had on the I finally actually read the Herbert West stories because I hadn't found those. I had never even heard of them, and I love Lovecraft stuff.
Right.
Those things are hilarious. The guy actually knew how to write funny stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize I just thought the film itself was comical, but no, I mean, the stories themselves are really funny.
Yeah.
And very neat. Yeah.
So back to the porno.
Back to the porno. Okay, well, my daughter, Laura, not Constance, played E.T. in it, you know, basically walking on her knees and stuff, and it instead of its finger that lit up,
we can.
It's a really bonding experience for a father daughter sort of thing when you're
to work on a pornographic
when
movie.
You do that. Well, Connie's first film was a porno actually too. Her first film doing makeup, we didn't know till we got there, and I'm like, let me find out what's going on here. Do we have to put something special in their lipstick to maybe? Are they going to be doing anything that might rub it off? Yeah. Okay. It's a porno.
Have you done anything with clowns?
Oh, I done what?
Clowns?
Not that much. My friends did that. Killer clowns.
The Kyotas? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find clowns scary?
No, not at all.
Now, Irina is a clown. I didn't know this.
Okay, so this all started. This all started.
Well, I mean, you're a clown anyway, but you have a clown character.
Yes, this all started because of Wasteland Weekend this year, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. Let me rewind. It started because of nude photo shoots. They were artistic, okay, But basically, me, a photographer that I've been working with for many years, and my current partner, we all went out to Murrieta to do a collaborative photo shoot. And they were basically just artistic nudes on the property where he lives. And, you know, we were just out there. There's a lot of different stuff with, like, lighting and shadows. And cool. My friend Jason Mattson, who is the other photographer, he really likes to work with playing with lighting and things like that. So we did a shoot out there, and I ended up, starting to get some of the photos back. And I was like, I actually really like how a bunch of these turned out, but I can't really put them up on Facebook. Yeah. There's a lot of junk being shown. So I decided to take the clown emoji and use that to censor strategic areas of my body. So at some point, again, there's always like a weird backstory with my artistic choices.
That's why we love your art.
Yeah. But
you and Cleve have odd backstories.
Yeah, I had a similar experience.
Yeah. So basically, I myself like Photoshopped strategic clown emojis on myself so that I could share some of these very nice images on social media and, I wouldn't catch a ban. At some point, I came down with the nickname Clown Titties. So, Clown Titties ended up becoming like this more, like, apparently, like, when I name something, like, a thing gets created.
Right.
So, Clown Titties ended up becoming this post-apocalyptic clown character. So after that happened, I just started threatening everybody that I was going to buy a clown horn for Wasteland Weekend because I really like clown horns and how obnoxious they are.
Yes.
So that happened, and then it just started.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
It started again, like, developing into this whole character.
Mm-hmm.
So Clown Titties is a post-apocalyptic clown for people who are made uncomfortable by clowns.
I like that.
Who survived the apocalypse.
That would be a good movie.
We did a Facebook-friendly version and did the, then the gallery version.
Yeah, clown titties. Now, what nude photo shoots did you do, Cleve?
Because
you
were talking about something. This is an art thing. It was like this.
It's always an art thing.
It is. I mean, it's been.
Me, I just take pictures of my dick. You guys are doing art.
You're a notorious dick pic.
It's not our fault that people can't handle genitalia.
I know, as art. Yeah.
Yes.
It's all over Europe.
Look at classical art. There's pieces everywhere.
Exactly. Yes.
But here it's like, and I love to shock people, but Jesus. I was doing this one.
The one who built a 20-foot penis for Jason.
Yeah. Okay, I'm an incredibly shy person, actually.
Yes.
To be honest with you. I'm very, very shy. And I sent Mr. Hyde out. Mr. Hyde comes out. That's Monster Man. That's not me.
Yes.
But I was doing the shoot with this photographer. It was really, really good. And she had me doing this thing where I was carrying. We were shooting down at Sepulveda Dam, and it was like February, freezing, raining slightly. Right. And I'm in the water, fully dressed, holding this girl in this long red gown and shit, and it's floating on the water, and she's dead and all this, and it looked really cool.
Yeah.
Very, very neat. And they did that. So I did a couple of shoots with her, and then she came up with one. It was a Corpse Bride thing. And it required nudity. And I swore to face my fears and say yes before I can talk myself out of anything.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll do it. All right. And then I had a minor panic attack when we were doing it. But
as a matter of fact, can we all just get naked right now?
I'll pass. No one wants to see this.
Oh, I doubt that.
No, everybody's mostly seen this.
It took a couple of hours for the makeup artist to draw all these little veins and shit. I'm a dead body in it. Veins and stuff on me. And that felt so damn good. It was like a massage on me. So I was relaxed by the time I got around to shoot. But we did one that was Facebook friendly and one that was the gallery version. And it was like, when she told me she posted it, I had another panic attack. Like, wait a minute, people are going to see this? Oh, no. Yeah. And I did that, And it's cool, though. I mean, like you're saying, the lighting, all that stuff, very, very neat. And you can tell it's my bedroom because it's all gothic and all that shit. But up on the shelf, if you look really good, you can see all the Godzilla toys, which is
very nice.
But I did one that was like, this is a case of me saying yes to something without thinking, or just saying yes because I like helping a friend out. And she's this, there's this artist who had a gallery opening in Beverly Hills, and her newest exhibit was called Viva Voce. She's Italian. And it was basically black and white pictures of people in the nude wearing this big caldera, this big skull's paper mache head, and that was the only color in it.
Right.
And I was like, okay, very cool stuff. She had a set of that. But for the opening night, which had about 200 people, she had a model lined up to wear it, and they didn't show up. And I felt bad for her, so I'll do it. And then I don't drink. Boy, did I that night. I slugged back a few,
So you were nude modeling drunk?
Let's put it that way. I wasn't drunk.
Because then you would get whiskey dick. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was weird because, you know, and just, yeah, it was strange.
Now,
just going out there in front of 200 people. Nobody can tell, well, unless they knew my tattoo, who it was, you know, because I had a big red skull mask. And I couldn't see anything through it, really. But I sure could hear talking and hear cameras snapping.
You know? Was the tattoo ever shown on Monster Man?
Hmm?
Was your tattoo ever shown on your show, Monster Man?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Okay. Now, where does the time go? What a great show. Is your band, Urn, going to be playing at your party?
Yep. No, we're not playing at the party. We're going to be playing in January during the NAMM festival thing.
Okay.
We'll be there.
Doing a little...
Finally, we'll get there early enough that we
can... Yeah. We're going to be playing at, I believe, the Doll Hut. I can't remember if it's going to be Friday or Saturday night. Okay. I'm once again trying to get... into Bar Sinister, but Trish never returns her calls. And, you know.
Please, you made that place. You've been there forever.
We started it, you know.
You're always shrouded in the corner. They should let you perform.
I've been there. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, actually, I did that one thing on my birthday, and they wouldn't. Me and Mordred were having our birthdays together. It was June, and I made this big birthday cake. These girls were going to be in it. And I had it hooked up. I was going to take a chainsaw, cut it open, and all this blood was going to come squirting out of it. And they wouldn't let me do that. I mean,
that's
it was totally
your monster
safe.
Man.
Awesome.
Totally safe. Yeah, it would have been totally awesome. Yeah, but they wouldn't let me do it.
But they let girls like throw blood all over themselves on stage, but they won't let you do that. That doesn't make sense.
And there was no chain on the chainsaw, just the noise of it was, you know.
Right.
Stuff. But it was totally safe. I've done it many times.
Half the music they play now is terrible, so they're going to complain about a chainsaw.
Well, what are you going to do? Anyway.
I mean, it's gotten kind of frat boy over there.
Yeah. It seriously
party,
has.
Though, is fucking great.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I haven't been to that.
Music.
Because on Wednesday, it's... You kind of get just the hardcore people there.
Yeah.
It's free.
And the music is really good.
Yeah,
we'll have to check it out.
Tommy plays.
Yeah,
come on. All right, I'm
down.
We'll
come down on Wednesday.
It's a wonderful time in the 80s.
Yeah. But before we go, and I'm going to...
Put your mask back on.
No.
Leather.
No. This is me talking. I have to say, this is actually going to be the last show that we're doing here at the Ruby Studio, or the one here. So I did want to thank everybody here at the Ruby Studio for me.
And I just now found you.
Yes, I know, but Irene finally came. I've been trying to get to her for years.
Yeah.
But I wanted to thank Trevor. I wanted to thank Lindsay. I wanted to thank Aristotle. I wanted to thank Morgan. I wanted to thank Pete and everybody here at the Ruby. It's been great, and I don't know. We're probably gonna be taking November off, and hopefully December we'll have a new studio.
Hopefully.
Might be at the new Ruby or whatever, but. I wanted to thank everybody for supporting the show and bringing the show back.
And so many great memories.
Back from the dead.
Yeah.
Back from the dead. So we got to go, but Irene, there's so many things that you do. And now you're helping small businesses. You're doing tarot card readings. How can people get a hold of you? And just, you have so many talents.
I would say
no job,
just...
but you have a bunch of talents.
Well, I have a seasonal job right now, actually.
Okay. All right.
That's been kind of interesting and fun. Just check out my website, irenazaradance.com. Please note that it's still a little bit under construction, but there's stuff up there. I'm completely self-building, so I'm going through WordPress. I am not, I haven't taken classes or anything in like web design. So I'm pretty much doing all of this completely by myself.
So it's Irina Zara, not Irina Zara.
Irina Zara, yes. Yeah. I'm pretty much self-building my website and getting some coaching from my friend Lilith, who is my basically web guru, but I'm kind of doing it all myself. So if there's little bugs here and there, you know, please be patient. But there's lots of contact forms on there where you can reach out to me.
If you need a dancer, you need a tarot card reader, you need somebody to help you with your small business, you need a clown, you need a mime, you need a nude model, whatever you need.
Web designer
Irina
soon.
Zara. Yeah, new web designer soon, whatever you're. This has been as delightful as I was hoping.
Awesome.
It was
delightful.
Thank you
so much.
And Cleve, always a pleasure. I wish.
We need some more time with you.
Well, I wish you were. Every time you're like half hour late.
I know.
And we only have like a half hour to talk to you, and you got so many things. And you talk a mile a minute, but there's still so many things that.
I thought I had nothing to say.
No, you always got something to say. How's the hearse?
Today. Brushing all the leaves and stuff out of my hair, was crawling under it, which is how I ended up doing what I did, holding a flashlight. I replaced the battery cable and stuff, but I got all the lights working on now, backup lights, everything. It's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous. It's parked in front of my house. It's got it done. Hercula is her name.
And and how do people get a hold of you? Just Cleve Hall on all social media?
Yeah, usually on Facebook, usually Cleve Hall.
Yes. Yes. And this is a Hail Hannock Box 666. Mm-hmm. On all social media, goth comedian on everything, and there it is.
See you in December.
Maybe January. I don't know, but everybody have a wonderfully creepy week.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bye.